Welcome, everybody, to Mormons on Mushrooms. Just a reminder that this is a storytelling podcast where we discuss alternative methods for healing from trauma and seeking a more fulfilling life. A lot of times on the podcast, we discuss triggering topics, and we ask that you make your personal mental health top priority. Lastly, the opinions offered by our guests don't necessarily reflect the opinions of the hosts. Sit back, buckle up, and enjoy. Well, geez Louise. It's funny. Like, I like how we always try to come up with like, there's no other way to say that we really had a good time with the last episode. Oh, the episode you're about to hear, we really enjoyed recording. Well, that's, it becomes hard to always say that in a different way. So just so you know, talking with DR today was a blast.
We don't want it to become a cliche and just say the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, because then it like takes away the value of it. You know, I want to make sure DR knows how much I love him, but he's like, oh, Doug, he says that about everybody. But no, I love talking to DR.
He's got a magical energy, doesn't he?
Well, he does. Yeah. And he's, you know, I think we talk about it, but like he's a fun person. I've spent some time with him as far as like exploring some of these medicines, and he's a good time, you know?
Yeah. And we talk about that space raver versus like chakra vibes. He carries both. I know he thinks he's a space raver, but there's like he's got both energies. It's just a balance of it. It's pretty
well, cool. Well, and it's true. The chakra vibe is catching up and keeping that balance, right? He's still got that space raver. Like I could still go to a space rave with DR for sure.
For sure, man. So, and so speaking of that with the solstice, so this episode is about our solstice event coming up. I mean, we in true Mormons on Mushrooms fashion, we go on plenty of tangents and talk about all sorts of
things. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of, I think we talk about like church, we talk about masturbation. Like there's plenty of stories, right?
There's plenty of Mormons on Mushrooms stories. But the solstice event, yeah, you're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be the event. It's where all the cool kids are coming, you know?
Yeah, of course I'm going to the solstice. Only the coolest kids go to the solstice. I don't know how to do an Adam Sandler voice. And I also can't remember the lines from that show. It's like Billy Madison where he's like peeing his pants. Of course that's pee my pants. Anyway.
That's like a Ridge Adam Sandler, isn't it? Like,
yeah, I think that's like the world's first introduction to movie mogul Adam Sandler.
Yeah. Sounds perfect.
Yeah.
But I think we need to highlight, I guess we're supposed to highlight that if you want to be part of our theme camp, come to, I think we have the link now on our website. It's mormonsonmushrooms.com/revival. There's a little application to fill out and it's going to be amazing. So you should do it and come celebrate with us. And so there's I think we're going to limit our camp to 50 people. So you want to get in and be one of those 50. But if you want to just come to the revival and not be part of our camp, come hang out with us.
Hell yeah.
Do it. And if money's an issue in coming, reach out to us. I mean, obviously we'll have camp dues. I think our camp dues are $50 for our camp, but let's, you know, cause a bunch of costs are involved and we're hoping that we'll cover it. You know, reach out. If that's going to be an issue, we can figure something out.
Faux show. And all of our other things, we got will this thing come out before the,
yeah, this is coming out like tomorrow, man.
The symposium. Oh, this is coming out. Yeah. Okay. Well, so the symposium is April 22nd. Go ahead and go to the Divine Assembly for more information about that. And
we'll talk about the roadshow that night. Let's do it.
Roadshow. Yeah. Tell us about the roadshow.
So we're doing a roadshow that night, Friday, April 22nd. Doug, me, Shalice, we got some other cool people coming. I think Tanner from Zelf on the Shelf, Tess. It's going to be playing some music, Rocky, Mike Simmons, Space Druid. We're going to we're going to celebrate Earth Day at a yoga studio with good music, good laughter, good energy. And that, I think the yoga studio only fits about 60 people. So we've got tickets for that. It's a donation contribution based $11 to $33, whatever you want to pay.
Yeah.
But you will want to, I'll put the link in the, show notes as well, because you'll want to secure your spot there, because I think the yoga studio, it's a limited space.
Yeah, limited space. It's going to be a lot of fun. Come with us and take back a big portion of our teenage years of being like either on stage doing weird things or in the audience on weird things for these stupid road shows. Let's take them back a little bit and make them something fun and cool and a little dorky, you know?
A little dorky. Always a little dorky, but, you know, celebrate Mama Gaia. We'll call it the Mama Gaia Road Show.
It's Earth Day.
On Earth Day. So
yeah,
that's the big shit that I guess that's all the things we need to talk about.
Oh, we covered it. We did it.
Done.
We're so good at intros. Remember how we used to never do intros and now we're so good at intros.
Now I just love intros because it just gives me another opportunity to see your face. And just,
I mean, honestly, I do love intros because it's just you and me talking and I kind of like that, you know, it's kind of fun. So
same.
All right.
Enjoy DR, everyone.
Hit it.
Little Steve up DR sauna over there. Am I saying sauna? I'm emphasizing the U a lot, aren't I? Like sauna.
Sauna. Yeah, dude, I feel like the three of us could get real slippery and wet and have sex in that sauna that you're in.
Oh, the first time we do, can it be in a sauna, please?
Dude, for sure. God knows we're going to need the lubrication.
God knows. Yeah. God won't know. He won't be able to see through all the steam.
He won't be able to see through.
Oh, so that's the way they're getting, that's the workaround. Is they're like, you know what? We do it in the sauna. The steam gets so thick. God doesn't even know we're fornicating and sinning. So we're like, we're good to go.
Yeah. Just like under the covers, you know?
Oh, see, God can't see through blankets either. Man, God is the worst superhero. He can't even see through steam or blankets. Man.
Plus he's just a jackass. So like, you know.
Hey, I was thinking about that today. Because at work we're doing there's like a big tech kind of thing going on right now.
You implementing some new software or something?
Yeah, big time. And you know, it's a pain in the ass and it's just like glitches and bugs. And so there's all these fixes going on. And as I was fixing something today, I started kind of chuckling about, I mean, I'm not a computer guy as far as like, I can't write code. I can't, you know, write, you know, like a new report or, you know, whatever SSLQ. I don't even know what the fucking code are called, but I can kind of navigate a computer pretty well. And I kind of know what I'm doing. And I was starting to think about it. It's all porn. So it like,
that's what got you savvy.
Yeah. When I was a teenager, the internet was just starting to kind of like, we had the internet when I was like 16 or 17, we had like AOL, you know, and Prodigy. You guys remember Prodigy?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. We had CompuServe.
CompuServe. Yeah. So I used to, God damn, man, the amount of time I spent, like, I wish I would have like learned music or, you know, taken up a hobby instead of just, I would sit in our computer room. Dude, by the way, does anybody have a computer room anymore?
We did though. Yeah.
You have those desks with the corner so that the giant ass monitor could like slide back into the corner.
Yeah. It was just a room in your house for the computer. Like, you know, yeah. I guess we call it an office now. I don't have an office, but I used to just sit there for hours playing. Remember the Windows Solitaire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Windows 95 Solitaire.
Solitaire or Free Cell?
Dude, I was a solitaire guy. I felt like
Minesweeper as well.
Dude, Minesweeper was a good one too. Yeah, all of the ones that came in the like basic Windows 95 package, like all those games. I was like just crushing those games, listening to like oldies. Like you know, it's 1996, and I'm listening to like fucking Neil Diamond and Elvis Presley and like the soundtrack from. What was that, Ron Howard? Groovy Times or whatever.
George Lucas made that movie.
George Lucas made it. Harrison Ford made it.
American Graffiti.
American Graffiti. Yeah. Listening to the soundtrack of American Graffiti and then just waiting. Like I had my windows up and just waiting in the background as like Prodigy or AOL tried to pull up like line by line a picture of a topless woman. And I had to like keep my eye on the door because I didn't want my parents to come in, you know.
Yeah. So you switch back to the new.
So you switch back and forth and all that kind of stuff. And then you have to learn how to like delete your history and delete any traces.
You learn all about technology. So
that's how all these guys, honestly, that's how Facebook was invented. Mark Zuckerberg for sure was really into porn as a kid and really just learned how to navigate the computer. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong, man. There's something that is like so enticing about that scroll, just like going down really slow, you know, like little peep show, just like.
Yeah, I wonder if somebody's made some software that like replicates that, you know, where you got to like pick a picture or something and it has to load really slowly.
Dude, that is not a bad idea. Like I can go for a nostalgia beat any day of the week. Like give me some nostalgia jerking and I'll go over. Cause I used to go too soon. Like what a good confession to make on a podcast. I used to, as I'm playing solitaire and listening to Neil Diamond, as soon as I even saw like the first line of cleavage, it didn't even have to be like, I didn't even have to know what the rest of the thing was. That's all I needed, dog. Like that is all I needed was cleavage. And then I was deleting my history and jerking off.
I mean, when you're used to porn.
Hands touching hands, reaching out, touching me.
Dude, honestly. And just like deep cuts, you know, love on the rocks. Ain't no surprise. It's like deep cut Neil Diamond shit, you know?
Oh, I just loving the.
I mean, honestly, it's to this day. That's why I still get horny when I hear Neil Diamond's voice.
I mean, he's got a sexy ass voice, isn't he? DR, I'm loving you on here, man.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for bringing this energy with you.
Yeah, DR, thanks for bringing all this sex talk energy with you.
Do you like how I just like put that all on you? I'm blaming DR.
I tell a 45 minute story about jerking off.
Doug came in locked and loaded with the.
Mike blames DR.
Well, we didn't show up in the porn sauna. That's what DR showed up in.
That's true.
That's your fault, DR. You got me hot and bothered in that sauna.
My phone booth looks a lot like a sauna, I guess.
But really though, when Doug and I first set out to do this, it's almost been a couple of years. I made a list of who I wanted to bring on as guests, and you were on the list. And it's taken us this long to get you on, but I think the timing couldn't be more perfect for it. Actually,
yeah. No, I'm excited about it. Feels like, you know, when you tapped me about the solstice. I honestly had no idea how deep the community was and what kind of people I would meet. And, you know, just getting the ball rolling here with Adrian and Peter and some of the other folks, it's been amazing to be like, yeah, this is exactly what I wanted to get into. And I'm like, just been over the moon to be engaged. And it feels like, you know, such a awesome kind of step up from some of the festival stuff that I've done in the past.
Can we kind of talk about our history a little bit?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah,
so, this thing's going to go on a long and windy path, bro. Like we're going to touch on all that, but I got DR stories. I got to tell.
Okay. Well, but DR, like, there's an element of like, you were one of the first synchronicities that brought the podcast to existence in a way. And so, wait, Shalice is here. Let's bring her in for this story here.
Okay, cool.
Perfect. Hey, you've met Shalice, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Last year at the festival.
That's right. There she is. Hey, Shalice.
Hello.
Shalice, it's been so long since I've seen you on this end of the screen, and it's about fucking time.
I agree. Hey, DR.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good. Excited to be here.
So, Shalice, you came in. Mike was just locked and loaded to tell the story of how DR was one of the foundational voices of what led to Mormons on Mushrooms.
Yeah. I guess cool. It was led to me doing mushrooms for the first time. So.
Okay, sorry. Like led to Mike doing mushrooms, which, that led to Mormons on Mushrooms. It still plays.
No, it does. Absolutely. I'm just kind of, I guess I don't know why I'm clarifying that. I don't know. But I just got back. It was our 20-year high school reunion. DR and I went to high school together, and it was a weird reunion, man. It was like this, it was in someone's parents' backyard, and we were doing hot dogs and s'mores and Italian sodas. It's true, just like Davis County fashion, man.
Yeah. Yep.
And Eric smuggled in some wine. So you knew who, like, you were kind of looking around to see who had those little solo cups of wine. And lo and behold, DR had one of those. And that was surprising.
Team Wine, it was like, you know, Captain Plum. We came from like the four corners and all of a sudden it's like,
And DR, I mean, that was a really surprising one because I just remember you as really Mormon.
I mean, likewise, right? Like I would have not, I mean, nobody in that group, honestly, would have, would be people, because it was two things too, right? It was A, you're not Mormon anymore. And B, you were like throwing down and you're like, fuck it. I'm going to show up to the Mormon high school reunion and like show them what I'm all about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's two stages. You're right. Cause like not being Mormon anymore, it's still kind of like, well, but I'll go play the role for these people because I don't want to make waves. But once you're openly like, I don't give a fuck, like drinking in front of them, that's a new step, right?
Yeah.
And so it was fun to like reconnect with you and bond with you on that. And then we went somewhere. If I'm okay to tell it, we can cut any of it if you don't want me to have
sure.
it.
Yeah,
but like fine. We went to someone's we went to Eric's place afterwards.
Yeah.
And we were getting high and stuff, and DR brought up, he started talking about psychedelics and mentioned, he's like, I'm microdosing LSD right now. And I was like, what? I was just blowing my mind. And a week later, I'm up at Doug's house before our fantasy football draft. And I'm telling Doug this story. And we start talking about mushrooms. And I say, hey, I think I got a guy. I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about someone else who could get us some mushrooms. I'm like, but anyway, we're telling your story that triggered the mushroom conversation that Doug and I had that led to the mushrooms the next day.
That's awesome.
And then since then, I think I've tried a handful of drugs for the first time with you. And
yeah.
It's always been MDMA the first time. That's one of the most magical nights of my life, man. And
yeah, very magical for me too. Yeah. And I would say you have been one of the most fun people to ever introduce anything to. I feel like you enjoy things more than almost anyone that I've ever met.
So, so true. Great. That is so true.
Well, shit. Yeah, that probably is true.
Are we allowed to talk about any of these things that you've introduced me to, DR?
Sure. Yeah. I feel like you guys don't get a lot of guests that are, you know, there's like a certain psychedelic bend, but there's some other things that maybe I'm a little bit more into that people are less familiar with. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, fair enough.
DR, you classify it as two things. You say like kind of Silicon Valley or chakra. How do you?
Oh yeah. I said like, you have sort of like space raver kids and then you've got like chakra people. I've tended to be on team space raver, although I'm kind of coming around to team chakra as well.
Nice, dude.
I love it.
But don't give up all of that space rave energy just yet. Cause you and I have had some you and I had a pretty good time.
We did.
That day at the solstice last year, man, you're like in a handful of my all time favorite people to ever trip with. Cause we just had, I mean, we had a blast.
We did. And we did. I think like you kind of held it together a lot more than Mike and I did, honestly.
Well, that's so funny you say that. Like I did not feel like I was holding it together at all, but Shalice, that was the day that you and I drove to get gas. And I still have that recording of you and me in my truck. And you're like, wait, you're tripping right now. And I'm like, girl, I can't even see your face. What are you talking about? I'm tripping right now. Anyway, I don't know. I got a lot of stories, but let's you know.
Well, that feels awesome. Yeah, no, thank you. I had such a great time hanging out with you guys. Yeah,
that was a blast, man. We're in the RV and suddenly DR quiets everybody. He goes, whoa. And everybody kind of, it was to the point where everybody kind of gets worried that like something's wrong. Like, wait, okay, let's all shut up and listen to what DR has to say. He's like, man, can you guys hear that? Like, what's that noise? It's that looping. It's looping. It's buzzing. And we all kind of sit and listen for a second. And finally, I can't remember who it was, but someone goes, is it the air conditioner? And DR's like, oh yeah, it is. It's the air conditioner. But everything had slowed down so much that you thought it was this like, whoa, kind of thing. And it's like, oh shit, we're under an air raid or an attack or something like that.
Slow down.
Everybody slow, shut up. Listen.
We got to figure this out. That sounds about right.
So what is, how did you get into like, cause yeah, it's interesting to me who did not go to high school with y'all. Mm-hmm. I only know you as DR, one of the coolest guys in the world. I don't know you as like super Peter Priesthood gung-ho guy. So how did you go from that? Like what was your experience getting into the psychedelic world and then obviously getting into like festivals, space race, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I mean, so I think, you know, similar to, I was listening to one of the episodes not too long ago, and you guys were talking about kind of this phenomenon that I had sort of sensed, but I hadn't like, you know, I don't know. You kind of like articulated it really well. You're just kind of saying it's sort of like the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Like sometimes when you're so deep in, I think it was the, is it Kara from Mormon Stories? It's kind of like listening to her talk about being so aggressively like, you know, locked into the Mormon thing, then it just almost makes it easier for you to flip. I think people that are kind of like wishy-washy about it, they can kind of stick around forever. And I was definitely the same way. I was the most, you know, kind of aggressively Mormon in my family. I went to BYU, did the mission, did the whole thing, right? And just kind of really got dealing with like depression and, you know, a lot of different things, like a lot of people doing, like wondering what they're all about and trying to put my finger on it. And then realizing that, like, I just don't fundamentally believe this, you know, this doesn't align with my worldview. And I think largely it was just being very scientific, very skeptical, very like wanting to integrate my, not the rest of my knowledge with this thing. And just that shelf getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, classic story. And so I want to say 2009, maybe I realized it was like in a Sunday school class or something. I mean, you know, there's a million moments where it like something clicks, but I was in a Sunday school class and it was just like a 10 commandments talk. It was super basic. And they're like, thou shalt not bear false witness. And I'm like, I am bearing false witness every goddamn day that I'm like saying that I'm part of this. Like, I'm not even able to actually be a good Mormon in the way that I'm doing it. I got to try something else. And so I, you know, kind of went into the bishop. I actually ended up meeting with a member of the stake presidency and just sort of saying, like, kind of handing in my resignation and just saying, like, listen, I'm out. Like, here's all my reasons. And this was in Seattle, and they were like actually super chill about it. They're like, sounds like you need to go do some exploring. Good luck. And I was like, that was pretty cool. Yeah. And that certainly sort of turned into the year of yes for me. You know, I had like the post-Mormon adolescence, whatever you want to call it, right? I had the, and I had one group of friends, this guy that I super randomly connected with through another friend that a Mormon friend had randomly connected with, and we played board games together. And this guy was like kind of recently out of Stanford and was a big, he had gone to Burning Man a bunch of times. You know, it's a big California thing. And I sort of reached out to them after I left, and I was like, hey, I kind of want to like hang with you guys, you know, like I want to do something or whatever, right? And they're like, yeah, let's do it. And so like I hung out with them a few times, you know, I'd like started drinking a little bit or whatever, but was very nervous about any kind of, you know, chemical experimentation, and went to my first burn so he was just like, hey, do you want to be in my Burning Man? Yeah. I literally had never heard of Burning Man. I remember seeing do you guys remember Wild on E?
Hell yeah. Brooke Burke. Come on. Yeah.
Come on. There was an episode of that from like, you know, the 90s where they talked about Burning Man, and it was just like naked old people or something in the desert, you know? And that's like all I'd ever heard about it. I was like, this sounds pretty weird, but who knows, you know? And I watched a bunch of documentaries about it and tried to like get up to speed on it. So I showed up there never having had tried anything. Basically maybe I'd had weed. I don't remember. And the very first night, somebody's like, hey, you know, dip your pinky in this and lick it and see what you think. And I, you know, I had no expectations before this that I was going to try anything or do anything. Right. And
hold on. I just gotta stop there and dip your pinky in and lick it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the ghetto way to do it. You know, the old school, like, raver vibes of just, I mean, I think it's very imprecise and probably not a smart way to dose yourself, but yeah, that's but yeah. So like, I was like, you know, it's like the, what do you call those things? The candy,
like the fun dip, like the
fun, it was fun. Yeah. Yeah, it's like fucking fun dip. Yeah, you're like your finger, you're like sticking in it, licks them off, and I was like, okay, you know. And I was meeting a whole bunch of these people I was with for the first time, and I just remember walking out. So the way Burning Man is set up is it's a giant clock face. So there's all these streets that are goes from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the sort of this like horseshoe, and you camp, there are these radial streets as well that go out from A to like J or whatever. And so, you know, your address will be one of the clock. It'll be like 2 o'clock or be, you know, like 5 o'clock in G or whatever. And so you're always walking down those 2 o'clock type streets all the way into the center, because that's where all the action is. And I just remember we had, you know, I'd done the pinky dip or whatever, and we walked in, and I was with this group of people, and it was a bunch of new people that I'd never met before, but we'd done, you know, some coordination. We'd built up the camp, and we just like all huddled up, and it was like, we're like pulsing back and forth and like, you know, sharing some thoughts and with each other, like, oh, you guys are so great. I'm so excited to be here. And I was like, this is amazing. I mean, I didn't even know how to put this in a category. You know, I just felt such like intense camaraderie. It was just like such a beautiful experience. And we, you know, walked out and did whatever. We came back out. I mean, the night blew by for me, because I remember a bunch of people showed up. They got there like sunrise, and we like went back out with them. And interestingly, a really cool part of burn culture, particularly at Burning Man, is you have, you know, it's very ravey in some aspects, and there's like the temple and there's these art cars, and, you know, just like looking online at some of the photos, it's a pretty wild experience. But one of the main features they have is a temple, right? I'm like, oh, I'm Mormon. I know what temples are all about, right? And we got walking to this temple, and the sun is coming up, and it was this beautiful temple. It's totally, the man is like a little bit more similar each year, but the temples are like wildly different art projects every year. And this temple was amazing. This is in 2011, I think. And we walk into the temple, and people are crying. People are having these like deep spiritual, emotional experiences. They're kind of like connecting with their friends. And my mind was blown. You know, my only experience of like party life or whatever was getting drunk and like being wild and reckless and like forgetting what happened that night. You know, not that I was like that big of a drinker, but like I was, you know, experiencing things. And I was like, this feels so much more like the whole complement of that feels like what I want to experience, that like kind of like sacred aspect and that like camaraderie and that connection and all of those things. And you know, later that week I tried acid for the first time and probably some other things, and it cut, you know, just was like, well, that was amazing. Let's keep rolling the dice here and see what happens. And so that kind of like really brought me into, that community. I remember, memorably, I think, you know, the next day, maybe a couple of days later, we did like an acid trip with the whole team. And I stayed out almost later than anyone else. I just remember being like, is it okay that I'm by myself, or I'm like wandering off, or I still want to keep going? Like, I just had so much like, you know, new kid in a candy store energy. And I remember coming back and just feeling the fucking burning in my bosom, you know, fire of God coming down. And I'm like, I just remember I was like sort of middle fingers to the sky kind of thing. I was like, you know, fuck you Mormons. Like, this is like the spirit that I've been looking for kind of thing. It just was such a powerful experience of like, you know, and I don't think that, you know, people don't feel the spirit in the church. I don't think that those are unreal feelings. I think that there's just like lots of ways to tap into our spiritual emotions. And it's what I've been so excited about with y'all and this community is the, you know, is it not being r/ex-Mormon or like these like very negative TikTokers or whatever. It was like, the church is so dumb. And it's like, yeah, all that's true. But like, you don't have to live in that negativity. You can still connect to some sort of spiritual center and core that is definitely part of who we are as humans.
Dude, I love what you're talking about. Like that resonates exactly with me, because the idea of everyone is having spiritual experiences, including people sitting in that same Sunday school class about the Ten Commandments. They're having a spiritual experience for sure. Certainly. I'm not discounting anyone's spiritual experience. But at some point, it also becomes like this thing where like imagine someone coming to you and bragging to you about the, oh dude, I just had the best old sandwich. Like it was the best fucking sandwich you ever had in your life. It was such a good sandwich. And I'm like, dude, I fucking love sandwiches. Like they're the perfect meal. Like, it's like sandwiches and burritos are my favorite food. Cause it's like, I like something I can move around with, you know? And it's like, if this person comes to you and they're just bragging about these sandwiches and then they say, I got it at Subway and it's a cold cut trio. You're like, what the fuck? Okay. Yes. Yes. You had a sandwich and it was probably delicious. Like, I bet it was the best fucking sandwich you ever had. But if you want to get down with some like sandwiches, let's go places where these people are not following corporate standards and they're not doing, you know, what the fucking franchise wants them to do. And they're not sandwich artists. Like they are real sandwich artists. You know, let's go get a sandwich that's going to make you like explode with like jizz and piss and everything that ever happened to you. I mean, that's literally how I feel with this stuff. You know what I'm saying? Shit, dude, I already can tell that I'm really chatty tonight. So I'm going to turn, I got another story. I'm not going to do back-to-back stories. So I'm going to turn time over to Elise, Mike, or DR for a second. Cause I'm going to hit you back with a story about that dipping the pinky and licking it. I got a good old story about that.
Well, you better hold true. You better like finish that story eventually.
Pinky promise. I'll tell the
promise guy holding that up. Shalise, I want to hear what's coming up for you so far.
I was just thinking that was the greatest analogy I've ever heard.
Honestly, I came up with it on the fly, but it's like apt, right?
Because you got like the corporate, it's a sandwich, but it's not like a sandwich.
Yeah, it's not something you can dig your teeth into and be like, holy shit, this thing is dripping down my face and I'm having sandwich envy right now.
And the best part is like you don't want the sandwich to taste the same every Subway that you go. Like you want a new sandwich at a different sandwich place and you want to see what those artisans are doing. And you don't want the same bread and the same weird sauce. You just want something interesting and it'll blow your mind.
Especially if you're going to foreign countries. Like if I go to Brazil, make me a Brazilian sandwich, you guys. Yes. Or like Africa, you know, like in these places other than America. I want to experience their flavor of cuisine and what they got going on, you know?
But Mike,
you know what that reminds me of, Shalise, is this. Sorry, can I tell a little tidbit real quick? When I first left, somebody sent me a friend, you know, a Mormon friend sent me an article that was Brad Wilcox, who's now, I guess, like this is before he was more of a speaker back then. And, you know, like he's like less of a controversial character, but it was this, you know, he's a great writer, great, you know, like guy, like the storyteller. And it was about, you know, piano, being a piano player, and that like you sit down and people think like you have to practice every day and work really hard and then God's grace will save you. And it's like, no, grace will come and save you even before. Like you just have to think about being a piano player. And I just remember reading this and I was like, yes, exactly. What if I don't want to be a fucking piano player, right? Like you have this system that's designed to create one thing. And if this is exactly what you want to do, best path for you. But everybody's different. You want a different sandwich every day. Like this isn't what life is about.
I agree. Anyway, he still uses the piano thing. Yeah. Talk, he was like, you know, being Mormon is like having the whole keyboard. We have all the keys, but other churches are just playing chopsticks because they don't have all the keys on the keyboard.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, it's rough.
Dude, if those nights like you're talking about, DR, where you're out under the stars in the desert and with substances or without substances, but you're just feeling God, you're feeling the immensity of the unknown and the universe. If that's fucking chopsticks, man, I'll play that all day, you know?
Well, I mean, what a good point. What a good point, Mike. Like, I'll bet a piano master could bring me to my knees playing chopsticks. Like, I can do chopsticks. I learned it when I was a kid, you know. I could do the Tom Hanks version of chopsticks. Dude, nobody wants to hear the same fucking version of chopsticks. Like, imagine getting, like, Elton John to do chopsticks, you know? Like Elton John could turn chopsticks into like Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatter. Like you'd be like, holy shit, like this is the first time I've ever heard this song in my whole life. And it's like the same with the sandwich thing. Like, yeah, good. Keep eating your cold cut trio because it's $3.99 and it's cheap and you get a 6-inch, you get some Cheetos on the side. But the fact is like, no, I want the regional sandwich that has the regional meats and flavors and weirdness. And I want it to like be an experience. And I want, Mike, to your point, I want to go out and get dropped to my knees about the glory and majesty of God and source and the universe. You know what I mean? I don't want to sit there in Sunday school being like, oh, the fucking Ten Commandments story again, huh? Okay, here we go. Ten Commandments. I got them. I got them on lock. Like, let's do this. How are they going to spin this one? You know, well,
not to go too much on a tangent here, guys. Peter's going to kill us. Are we getting to his list at all? I don't know.
Yeah, dude, I don't even think we're even touching anything we're supposed to talk about yet.
We were covering point one for me, which was like, you know, my story with
we're getting done. Stuff, Peter,
so I feel like that's the only thing we need to
chill the fuck out, Peter.
Yeah.
But I do want to hit, because that was a shelf item for me. I remember on my mission, it was so hard in sometimes in these small areas of Brazil to find someone who could play the fucking piano, but they played played instruments, but those weren't approved in the Mormon. So it's like, well, but I want to go to a church in Brazil and hear like a samba type music or like what they're playing at a capoeira event where they're doing like the drums and the beats. Yeah. I want to feel their culture coming through how they connect with God and the divine. And that was a shelf item for me. Like, oh, the organ is the one true instrument, and that's all we have to play for eternity.
The church is McDonald's, right? It's like a corporate enterprise where they're like so hung up on homogenizing the experience and making it so consistent everywhere. And I remember feeling really great about this. Like, oh, you go here and read the same Sunday school lesson everywhere you go or whatever, you know? And it's so weird. You know, Mormonism is like the quintessential American church for so many reasons. And I think this is a huge part of that. Just like, oh yeah, this is like capitalism incarnate. This is like the religion and even the culture of the church of like, you know, I met a guy here at an ayahuasca ceremony who was Black ex-Mormon. He grew up in, or his dad's from like Nigeria, something like that. And he said this thing that's like, I've been saying, and I've never heard someone else like say it outside to validate it. And he was like, well, yeah, I had to go to this. I think he went to like some Ivy League law school or business school or something. He's like, I knew I had to go to a school like that if I wanted to be like a stake president or a general authority, right? Because that's what you do. Like you become really successful professionally and you move up the chain. That's how you become the bishop of your, like how many bishops in a ward are like, you know, the lowest income guy in the ward? Maybe some. How many state presidents? Almost zero. How many GAs? You know, like you want to move up the ladder? Like it's almost like prosperity gospel. It's kind of wild.
It's not MLM. Almost like it. It is it. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead, please.
No, just, I mean, it's like if McDonald's were an MLM.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, I used to be so proud and I would brag, like once I moved to Portland out of Utah, I was like, guys, this is like the only church where you can go anywhere in the world on any given Sunday and they'll be teaching the same lesson. And I didn't realize that's not really a good selling point. Like, where's the creativity? Where's the room to feel the spirit and actually move the people you're trying to teach? It's like, there's no room. Everything is written out for you. What you can say, what you can't say.
Especially when the lesson is like around July 4th or July 24th and you're singing about pioneers patriotism in America.
Yeah.
Dude. You know, I was thinking about like, I was watching this breakdown of like the history of Jehovah's Witnesses and, you know, they had like these initial prophets and then they switched to this model that's like a leadership team or whatever. They're sort of less invested in this like prophet-seer person, but it functions identically. And I realized this is exactly what the church is. There's no new revelations. We're not adding to DNC. Even when what the thing at conference where Nelson was like, oh, it's going to be crazy next conference. It's going to be unlike anything else. And then it was COVID. And he's like, wow, I never saw this coming. It's like, bro, biggest softball you've ever been handed. Just be like, yeah, I knew you're supposed to be a prophet. You have no idea. And you said it was going to be this big thing. They're not doing any kind of like divine leadership. They're just they're just corporate stooges, like keeping the ball rolling.
Yeah, my brother, I don't keep up with like conference and stuff like that, but my brother still kind of does a little bit. And that's his biggest thing is like, dude, every story I've ever read in the scriptures about prophets was, hey, there's a bad thing coming. The prophet told us all about the bad thing. Nobody listened to the bad thing that was coming, and they all got punished for the bad thing that was coming. My brother is just like, I mean, he's so funny. Like you get him going and it's just like, it's your knee slapping and you're LMFAOing. You know what I mean? And he's just like, man, all I want is for one prophet in my day and age to call one thing correctly. Like I want them to say one thing that's like, hey, be on the lookout for this. It's could happen. He's like, yeah. They don't even say it could happen. They just say like, oh, remember to follow your fucking 10 commandments and read your scriptures and do your search, ponder and pray and avoid porn. And he's like, dude, I want him to stop talking about porn. I want him to say, guys, there is a plague. There is a whole fucking plague on the way. So get your shit together and avoid these areas. I can't do him justice, but he gets going on that stuff. And prophets don't do that anymore because it goes against the corporate mold, which is if you predict something or project in the corporate world, we call it project. If you project something that doesn't come to pass, well, suddenly you gotta report to the board of directors and you gotta talk about how you missed the target and how about your projections were off and how we gotta retool and we gotta go back to the data analysis and we were focusing too much on the noise and not the signal. And I just want one prophet. I want one prophet to come out and say, guys, there's gonna be a tsunami in Southeast Asia. And we need to start now preparing the people of Southeast Asia for the tsunami. Not once has that happened in my lifetime. Not once. Yeah.
Well, maybe this ties into DR's experience. I don't think they really had a connection with the divine. I mean, that's what it comes down to. We're talking about this connection to the divine, the sacred themselves, whatever you want to call it, the self. I don't know. God. I don't think they've had that. And I think early leaders of the church, for whatever it is, Joseph Smith had that in some way. Now, whether it's got spun in some way, he got some connection to, they were communicating more with the divine than we can now.
He was boldly communicating with the divine.
Yeah.
He wasn't answering to shareholders and the bottom line. He was communicating with the divine, right?
Wait, Joseph Smith?
Yeah.
In some way.
All right. Bold statement.
we are not pro Joseph Smith around here, DR. We just recognize that at least Joseph Smith tried to do something. Like at least he was like, okay, here are my prophet, my prophet seer and revelation. Here are my revelations for the presidential election. And here are my revelations for the way that this country's going to go. And here's my take on who the Native Americans are. We don't have a prophet that's that bold anymore. That's the point we're trying to make. We're not trying to say, yeah, go Joseph Smith. We're just saying at least Joseph Smith took a swing.
We actually did have one, right? He just left. His name was Donald J. Trump. And when Trump came into office, he gave me a lens into understanding Joseph Smith that I had never had before. Oh. And I would replay some of these stories of Joseph Smith in Trump's voice. And I was like, oh my God. Right? Like you think about some of these things and it's like the Kinderhook plates, right? One of my, it's like somebody digs them up and they're like, hey man, like translate these, like, ooh, these are from Zelf, some ancient.
This is an ancient Lamanite warrior named Zelf who came around here.
Like, yeah. Very Christian and like Jesus loved him and he tried to do everything, you know, and they're like, oh, actually we just like made that up. And we just like dug this up. He's like, well, still real. Everything's still here, 100% real. The Lord inspired me to tell you those things. Like he believed in himself, you know? I think that was like divine in the sense that like he would get, you know, but like his compass was internal, right? Like an angel is going to strike you down or strike me down if you don't have sex with me. So let's like make this happen. Right. Like when it comes from a place of like total self-centeredness, I agree that I think he's like, he's tapping into something, right? Where like some of these scriptures are beautiful and legitimately inspiring, but I think like his ultimate compass was himself. That's just my
self-serving
my take. Yeah.
My revelations are
the best revelations. People have told me a lot.
We got all the revelations.
A lot of people are saying that my revelations are the best revelations. And I've got just really great revelations. And there's a lot of good people that are saying that, by the way. There are a lot of good revelations coming my way. And all
no
these
one's
people,
ever seen revelations like our revelations.
No one's ever seen revelations like the revelations I'm receiving. And I just want you to know that if someone's receiving revelations that are different than my revelations, they're wrong.
I wish everyone could see your face. That was so good.
My face is the best part of my Trump impression, right?
I just want the rest of the thing to be DR and Doug doing Trump the whole rest of the time.
Trump, Joseph Smith.
Yeah, Trump, yeah. Joseph Smith. Yeah, so you had that amazing experience.
Anyway, so then what happened, DR?
That's what happens when you put your pinky in a, what was it? Put your,
pinky in a bag, yeah.
Yeah, put your pinky in the bag, dude. I've done that.
Yeah, so I think, so to sort of like talk about kind of my story arc with Burning Man in general and festivals and stuff, I think, you know, over the next few years, it started becoming a very big part of my life. And, you know, it's right at the time at like the end of a school year, sort of. It generally happens at the end of August, start of September. And I mean, it always happens at the end of August, start of September. And so it, you know, it's amazing how often people would show up there and you meet them and they're like, they've quit their jobs or they just finished school and they're starting this new phase. And it kind of became this like moment of renewal and reconnecting to things. And, you know, I went so far as to kind of build my own camp. And, you know, over time, like anything, some of the magic of that sort of wore off. And you see certain things and different things. And I think the thing that I was most excited about ultimately was building a community, you know. So the way Burning Man works in all regional burns, it's in a very specific type of festival, right? Where the event is doing very little of the actual event. Like the event coordinators, they're like setting it up. They're going to have the man burn in the temple, but most of the crazy stuff you see, if you go, you know, Google Burning Man images or whatever, that's all stuff that the community has built, different theme camps. Right. And, you know, Burning Man itself now has kind of gotten out of control, and it's like Russian oligarchs dumping like billions of dollars to bring in like, you know, Diplo and crazy art cars and whatever. So it's you know, in some senses, like the contributions of individuals get a little bit lost. And I've found now that the regional burns are a little bit more interesting to me in that way, because there's still, you know, if you show up with something cool, it's going to get noticed. But like, you show up with some cool little like art project, you know, it's like the size of a person, and they like put you on the planet next to this like 40-foot Diplo like flame throwing stage, you're not going to look so, you know, it's like, well, what am I even here for? Yep. It's also just, you know, the tickets just went on sale. All of my friends are trying to buy them. I think 2 out of maybe 40 got tickets. Cause it's,
how do you get tickets for Burning Man? I've tried for the last, well, other than COVID, for the last 4 years, I've tried to get Burning Man ticket. How do you even get them?
Honestly, if we want to go, you know, next year or whatever, it's probably going to be best. Like the theme camps are where all the tickets go now. They've actually restructured to make that even more possible. So it's like, you know, we should just do a Mormons on Mushrooms theme camp. Like, I think we would get a lot of,
sorry, DR, I didn't mean to interrupt you mid.
No, that's fine. That's fine. And so
that's in our future, you guys.
Yeah.
I think probably Mushrooms going to Burning Man. That has to happen once, you know?
But so the last year that I went, I organized my own camp as like 40 people, and it, you know, I was really disheartened at how it turned out. A lot of like friendships broken, a lot of hurt feelings. And I was really left like puzzled about, and I've spent, you know, a couple of years since then, like really reflecting on how this was organized and talking to other people in different camps and thinking about kind of what this is, because the fundamental flaw in my thinking was that like, we're all just going to go there and be friends and it's all just going to work. Right. And there's so many logistics involved, and it's such a big endeavor that you have chores and you've got things that people need to do, and you need a legitimate kind of organization set up. And if you don't create some structure, however you want to do it, even if it's, you know, some alternative kind of structures, you're going to struggle. And so, you know, the models that end up working really well are either a command and control kind of like benevolent dictator, And those can work pretty great. You know, everyone checks in with Doug and he's in charge of everything. And like, he knows what to do. Right. But it's completely burns them out. And it's not like a really genuine and connected experience for everyone else. They're kind of consumers at that point. And so what I really wanted to do as we started approaching Solstice, especially looking at the community that we have and the kind of people that we have coming in, who nobody on the organizing committee that we have has ever gone to a burn, let alone a festival, I think, before, right? So what I wanted to really do was think really deeply about organization, but not necessarily, but not fall into this benevolent dictator model, right? To allow, and the most magical thing I think about a burn is that people think that you like go and like barter stuff with people or whatever. It's a gift-based economy. Everything that's happening there is given as a gift to everyone. You don't advertise. You know, some of these theme camps are like world famous. They can't use that brand anywhere else. They can throw a party, but they can't like sell t-shirts. They can't do anything, right? That's a big part of their thing. Is it's like, this is not a corporate event. And I think the idea of the gifting to the community is what really makes it fun and exciting to everyone. When you show up in everything you do, in everything you engage in is a gift, not an obligation, it's super rewarding at every level. And so that's really the structure. Sorry, I know I'm deviating now into kind of this year's Solstice.
Keep going. This is good information.
But that's really the structure that we are trying to build this year for the camp. And so I want to talk at some point, you know, if you guys have some questions about it, we can do that now. But at some point I want to talk about, you know, what we think the camp will look like this year and really do kind of a call for volunteers, because we'd love for people from this community to join us and get engaged and, you know, talk about what that looks like.
Well, I say we do talk about it. I mean, the great thing about our community is that, you know, we kind of take the Mormonism with us a little bit. I mean, we are all enlisted. You know what I mean? We like
your shoulder to the wheel.
The shoulder to the wheel. Like, we're all part of this thing, and we're going to go for it. But I mean, I don't know. Like, I to me, I feel like. You know, you were talking about the benevolent dictator. You were talking about how sometimes some burn theme camps can go really, really right, or they can go really, 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 really wrong. And I feel like a big part of that is the intention that people bring to it, the expectations that people bring to it. You know, a lot of times people go to a thing. I think we're trained to do this as humans. A lot of times people go to a thing with the expectation that someone's going to show me how to have fun at this thing. And I believe firmly in, I am the author of my own good times. Like I firmly believe in that. And so I would love to keep talking a little bit more about that as far as like how people can volunteer, what they can expect if they want to join and hang out and party with our camp, but also like the expectations of like, there ain't no Relief Society president at this thing. You know, it's like, you gotta be the author of your own destiny here. Like if you want to have a good time, go talk to that person that you keep glancing at, go explore the camps that you thought were pretty cool. And you want to see kind of some things happening. It's not wait for someone to bring and package up the good times to you and hand it over. Is that a fair way of saying that?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And maybe, so I'll take a slight step back and talk just about what Revival is, the dates, some of the sort of logistics, and then I'll share kind of what it is, the community it looks like that we're building. And if that sounds exciting to you, you know, we'll have a website up, mormonsonmushrooms.com/revival, where you can sign up, and I'll mention that again later, but where you can sign up and as a volunteer. Or sorry, as a camp member, which will include, you know, some volunteer type stuff, and how you, and talk about how you want to get engaged. So to take a step back, so Revival is the 24th through the 26th of June, 2022. This will be this. I think this is the second year. Did they do it before last year? I don't
know. No, this is second year.
Second time.
Interestingly, this is not. So there's another type of festival that I've been to a few of, right? Like. Lightning in a Bottle, but like people, I've never been to like EDC or what's that one called in Europe? I don't remember. Anyway, these like giant EDM festivals, and it's just like, you know, half naked raver kids on ecstasy the whole time, just like.
So is that more? This is,
Is that more the vibe of the one that's going on that same weekend or not? I don't want to, like E11 or what?
I'll talk about that Element 11 as well. So Element 11 is a burn actually. So this, if you think about the styles, that style is of a rave. That's like a very produced event where you've got maybe a few different stages. People are usually coming costumed up. There's a lot of like, you know, good vibes and camaraderie, but it's also kind of, I don't know, to me, it's a little clubby. It's a little like, you know, going out to the, you know, Detroit's hottest club and just like having assholes around, you know? So it can be a great experience if you go with your friends, but it's not designed to sort of necessarily create really positive interactions with other people. So that's, you know, very professional event. A burn is designed to be this thing that I talked about with Burning Man. So there's a bunch of regional burns all over the country, all over the world, actually. And they are these collaborative events. So you have people there that are putting on the event, essentially. So different theme camps. And, you know, a lot of camps will do multiple regional burns and Burning Man. So at Element 11, you probably have, you know, people that you'll also see at Burning Man. A lot of people, but also like theme camps and things that'll be there. So it's designed for that community. And it is, you know, burns have a lot of like music festival culture in them. They have a lot of, you know, costumes and things. They're sort of wild, extravagant party. I kind of think of it as everybody's throwing a party for everyone else and kind of engaging in it. Yeah. And that's super fun. That's a super fun experience, right? We're leaning, and last year, I would say it kind of felt like a burn. The Solstice Festival. There was late night ravey stuff. There was sort of like, you know, yeah, felt a little festival-y. Was great. Had a lot of other stuff too. I think this year it's going to be much more of what we're calling like a transformational festival. So I think the demographic is going to look a little bit more, as it did last year, it's going to look a little bit more like us, right? So people that are maybe faith transitioned a little later in their life, maybe they have families, maybe they have grandkids, who knows? And they're sort of exploring to sort of figure out what's next. I think this is a lot of the people that kind of got my mind spinning that I met last year at Solstice were kind of in this camp where they're like, I'm hungry for, you know, this next thing, or like I was doing this before and I want to try out some new things. So I think as a whole, the Solstice group and us Revival are kind of leaning this direction of more transformational. And that includes like, you know, there's not going to be a lot of late night music. They're going to have silent disco after hours, but you know, I think people should expect a lot more, you know, introspection, a lot more community building, a lot more connection with people, which I am just super, super excited about.
And kids can come this year.
Yeah.
Kids can come. Yeah. And Adrian, I think, was saying that at an event you guys had a couple weeks ago or something, that there was a whole cross section of people from like never Mormons to current Mormons to ex Mormons. And I think that that's a beautiful thing. And there's a sense, you know, some people have about burns or festivals or whatever, that these are just like drug playgrounds, right? Like, oh, this is for the chemically enhanced and there'd be no point in coming. And our hope is that's 100% not the case. You know, like I think that a burn by itself or a festival by itself can be a very transformative experience because it's a perspective shifting experience. The same way traveling internationally is, the same way, you know, trying a new chemical is. But when you go to these things, it gives you a way of reflecting about how you want to be. And I think most people, what kind of is most interesting to them about going to, say, Burning Man is that you come away with reflections on how you want to live your life, like differently, you know? And you'll see it. I've seen it in friends that kind of go more consistently and you watch their wardrobes. Every year they come back with more and more stuff that was like a Burning Man thing. And now I'm wearing it to work, you know, and you kind of like, and that's just symbolic of kind of other things. And you see them giving hugs out a lot more. You see them get, you know, being like a lot more open and have, and I think this is the core value. And this is like really what we're trying to help people do, is think about their life in a little bit of a different way. And like, are there ways in which, wow, I've been super closed off to, say, giving a hug to another man, right? Or whatever. Like that feels weird to me. And it's like some, you know, big sweaty Doug comes up to you and just like gives you a big bear hug. You're like, whoa, maybe this is okay. You know?
Oh, and okay. one thing I want to add, oh, sorry. Yeah,
a big sweaty Doug will come up to you and give you a hug. All three of you can attest that that is no matter what we call this, a festival, a burn, a solstice, a revival, there is one constant, and that is a big sweaty Doug will walk up to you and demand a bear hug. Anyway, sorry, Mike. Go
ahead. And you're going to love every moment of it, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, man. I'm good at this.
But I'm glad you kind of brought this up. There was, you know, I'm just thinking of my experience last year at the revival. And I had two different nights. One, I took two tabs of LSD and was gone and was in, you know, all the places. And the next day I'm like, no, I want to be more present. I want to be more here. And so like I nibbled on some mushroom chocolate throughout the day, but like just, it was basically microdosed all day. And it was just a cool vibe, you know, like it was just a really cool vibe connecting. And I think the one thing is as amazing as it was last year, I'm really looking forward to making more connections, having that space of like, we're all here, Mormazon Mushrooms theme camp. We're learning about each other. We're interacting with each other. We're in this same space together. And I think that's what I'm really, that connection, I think, is what I'm really looking forward to this year.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, absolutely. So there was a question, I think, on the Mighty Networks about, maybe it was even on Facebook, I don't remember, but about, wait, what are we getting ourselves into? Because they saw something about Revival Church and they're like, wait, is this a religion? I thought we were like out of religion. Like, what the hell, or what's going on? I don't want to be part of something, you know? So wanted to explain that to you and just say like Revival, wait, Soul, wait, what's the name of the group?
You're talking about the Divine Assembly?
Divine Assembly. Sorry. There you go. They're trying to normalize use of psilocybin mushrooms through this like organization of a religious organization, the church. It's not a theological kind of experience. We're not, you know, no one's paying tithing. No one's like signing up to be a member of anything. And, you know, important to note is like, we are not affiliated with them. You know, we certainly are like, I'm saying we, the camp, but like, you know, the podcast, as far as I know, right? Like this isn't, we're not like a joint kind of group at all. We're going to be similar to my experiences at Burning Man. We're going to be a theme camp inside of this larger festival. Yeah. So if you want to come to the festival, but what we're talking about doesn't sound particularly resonant with you, like go for it. You can get a ticket. You can camp wherever you want. You can come with your friends and you can go, you know, there's like anybody can get a ticket and come in. What we're going to be creating is trying to create a sort of deliberate community from among the Mormons on Mushrooms family to really sort of try and create something cohesive. And so to do that, you know, we're going to kind of limit the size. We're thinking probably around 50 people, although we'll see, you know, based on the response we get. And very early on, we had, I think everybody on this call and some other folks who chimed in, and we did some workshops to talk about like, what are the themes that we want to build on? And our goal is really to allow this to be that gift-based kind of bottom-up experience that is a something that we can all sign off on, but that also really energizes people and pulls the best out of them. You know, if any of this stuff sounds exciting to you, it's not, you know, you don't just get to like join in and be part of, you know, DR's vision or Doug's vision or Shalisa's vision or whatever. Like we want your energy, your ideas, your magic to sort of make this happen. And in fact, that's kind of what we're most interested in is like allowing the community, because I know from my early days of post-Mormondom, like I had so much fire and so much energy for so many things. And I didn't always feel like I had someone who was, like you're saying with the Release Society President thing, I didn't always have someone who was giving me permission to really, you know, do that. And we're here to give you permission, you know, like come share something, come experience something.
God, I love that.
And then, so just real quick, the three focuses for our camp. So this is kind of what we came up with out of our workshop are introspection and inclusion. So this is everything from like, do we have, you know, badges for people in the camp? Are we going to have like some ceremonies? Are we going to do some meditations together? Like, you know, what kinds of activities and, you know, setup do we want to have that's going to promote that? The second one is magical sacred fuckery. I forget who came up with that phrase. I think that was Doug maybe. And limitless creation.
I can't take credit for that. Sorry. I got to interrupt. I cannot take credit for sacred fuckery, but anyway, sorry, go ahead.
So we want people to be able to sort of create, we want to, you know, be able to poke fun a little bit at the seriousness of, you know, our situation and all these things, right? So, you know, this is art, this is creation, this is having fun. And really each person that joins the camp is going to be part of one of these teams. And so we're putting people only in one team to really allow them to, their head to focus around this. So it's like, if you're really into that inclusion piece, that's awesome. Like, you're going to be focused on that, and you can certainly provide input into other things if you want to, but we really want people to kind of get engaged in that one area. So it's introspection, inclusion, magical, sacred fuckery. And the last one is comfort and safe haven. So this is sort of making sure it's a safe space for people, maybe having like thinking about the environment that we're setting up in, and couches and fires and things like that, that might make it really cozy and facilitate conversations, helping people know who they could talk to. And these are pretty broad mandates, and that's by design. So if we want people that feel connected to these things, but you don't necessarily need to have an idea about what you want to do or how you want to contribute to these areas. We're going to form those teams in early May, once we get kind of the feedback from the community and get people signed up. And then we'll kind of work with those teams to sort of help them, self-organize and bring stuff to fruition.
I just need to clarify for those listening, the magic sacred fuckery is not an orgy.
Yeah, it's not sacred fucking.
It's not literal. It's more like having fun, letting go, being your best, most wild self, whether that's playing guitar and singing or building something with your hands or whatever it is, but not actual sexual things. Just to clarify.
Thank you for clarifying. Yeah.
Could we say it's not necessarily an orgy?
Mike's over here like, hey, let's not count anything out. You know what I mean? Let's not like exclude anything. I'm interested to hear from you, because I've said this on the podcast, but I'll say it again. My biggest regret from last year's festival, last year's solstice, was not, I mean, there are things that people could say, Doug, you were tripping every single day. You were kind of out of your mind. You were pretty strung out. No, dude. Like, I have good memories of that thing. I had some big old deep connections. Shalice, when you came out in the black lights with those pants, by the way.
Oh, I remember the pants.
Fuck yeah, those pants. My biggest regret was the Saturday. Mike had talked about how the day before we had been doing a lot of LSD and other things were involved, ketamine and whippets, and there was a shitload that was involved on Friday. But on Saturday, we were just kind of doing little tiny bits of mushrooms all day long. And just kind of like reflect. Mike, you can speak to that. We were very reflective on that Saturday.
Yeah.
My biggest regret, Shalice, mm-hmm. was that you were like the queen of that thing. Like you were doing everything for everybody. You were like the best. And then that Saturday night, you came over to our camper and we were chatting, we were hugging, we were saying things. And you were like, we're just getting ready to trip a little bit. I wish that I had saved myself for that, because I would have loved to have tripped with your crew that was there. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is exactly what DR is saying, is like, just pace yourself. Like, let's be cool and let's have a fun time. But Shalice, I would love to hear about what your experience from last solstice to this one. What do you want to do? Like, what did you experience then? What do you want to do now? And what do you want to kind of chew me and Mike out about right now?
Me, if you want. Yeah.
And DR too, because DR was not.
I mean,
DR was.
I definitely shirked some responsibility.
DR was definitely not withholding substances from me that day.
Well, all I know is looking at our like little sprinter van and seeing all the empty whippet cans all everywhere.
Yeah, man.
Glorious thing. That sound, the chink, 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 chink.
Yeah, DR, you're being very generous. I remember you coming up and you're like, I would just love to see you on Molly or like the other things, and I can make it happen for you. I got some stuff. You just let me know. You don't have to, but I think that you'd really enjoy yourself. And part of me was like, yeah, that would be cool if I didn't have to do everything.
I know. I'm sorry, Shalice. I'm sorry.
It was just, here's the thing. I should have asked for more help and maybe been more direct, but I'm the type of person where if I see something that's not getting done, I do it myself. And I'm like, well, I'm the only sober one here, so I guess it's going to be me. Like, I'll make sure everything goes smoothly and DJ has gas.
Where's the fucking gas?
Why did we always run out of gas? Yeah, so I think we've already kind of covered how it's a lot better when you have a team of people with responsibilities. And I think, DR, you're going to really help in making sure that people do the responsibilities, because that was hard for me last year.
You were crushing it.
Last year only happened because of you.
Yeah.
Aw, that's very sweet. And my mom and my cousin.
And Lisa. Oh, yeah, of course. Hey, yeah. Like, I will give Lisa a hug 11 times out of 10. Like, that 11th time is when even she's not wanting a hug, I'm still going to give it to her.
She will always want hugs. Yeah, I definitely couldn't have done it without them too. And I think that was kind of the only downside, is we were all so on it, me and my family, that none of us really relaxed. And we one time went off and explored the other camps, which was Saturday night before everything shut down. We're like, oh, maybe we should go like see what's out there, because we had not once ventured off. And that's also, Doug, when I came up to you at the end, I'm like, we're going to do mushrooms now, because now I finally felt like I could relax and not worry about something going awry.
Just to clarify, at that moment when you asked that, that's my regret, is I was so strung out and I needed to go to sleep. I wish that I had been in the state of mind to be like, hell yeah, Shalice, me too, let's go do it.
Yeah, it would have been cool. And I'm sure there'll be opportunities for that. And it probably happened exactly how it needed to anyway. Yeah. I had an experience with my friend Ramel, which was really cool. But yeah, it would have been nice to be able to relax into it more and actually see what else was going on, instead of just doing every single job, every single step of the way.
Did everything.
So, and I think, you know, interestingly for the, like, your seeing that was a big inspiration in some of the organization for this year, in not wanting, because guess what? The second we started chatting, you had, you know, the Adrians and the Peters and being like, okay, I'm going to take card charge of this and I'm going to do all these things. And I'm just like, guys, I've seen this happen a few times before, and not just at Solstice. It's like, if you're building up your experience around, like, you're going to be the linchpin. Well, here's what I told them. I was like, my goal is there are zero walkie talkies. You know, like, nobody should be fucking coordinating any, or cell phones or whatever. But like, no one should be like, oh yeah, just like talk to this person, get, where are we going to do? Like, there's going to be a little bit of that, right? There's going to be some site coordination. We're going to have to figure out where people's tents go. But I think that the goal is that for the most part, individuals are kind of getting excited. They're doing their one gift, but we minimize the amount of like central coordination that we need. And B, you know, if 7 out of 10 of our things that we were going to do work, awesome. Right. So we want to have some resilience where it's like, we recognize that someone's kid's going to get sick or something's going to happen. Right. And we're going to lose out on some things. And so some things we'll want to like really lock down, but be in a place where we can allow a little bit of that, you know, creative like adjustment. And that also makes it so we can let stuff in the last minute too. Right. If we're not like programmed out to the max. And I think another big difference is we're not doing any events. At least, well, I shouldn't say that. We might do some events, but last year we had, like, you know, the band was playing, we did the dance party, we had a whole bunch of, like, you know, very intense, like,
a lot of stuff, things. A lot of stuff going on.
And any of the stuff that we have this time is going to be, oh, somebody wanted to do this little workshop, or we wanted, so there'll be some things, but they can be coordinated sort of independently by different groups. We can't even have amplified sound in our camp. So, you know, a lot of those things that were complicated before will hopefully be minimized. And, you know, my hope is that most of these groups, and again, folks that are listening to this right now, getting excited, like, we want you to do the thing that you're excited about.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think if there's one thing, one ask that I put out there to anyone who's listening, that's like, I want to sign up, is that you really stick to your job, or like, yeah, I want to sign up, but follow through is the main thing. And like, yeah, holding yourself accountable. If you want to sign up to do something, make sure that you can actually do it. Or, you know, if you're like, you know what, I want to come to the camp and I want to hang out with Mormons on Mushrooms team, but I don't really want to volunteer because I want to experience the rest of the festival at its full capacity. We totally understand that too. And that's also possible. So maybe asking yourself what's more important or what you think would be more exciting to you. And you're not going to be volunteering the entire time, but just knowing that if you do decide to volunteer, that may take away from part of your experience doing the rest of the camp. Cause that happened a lot last year where people would come up to me and they're like, so I know that this is my shift, but there's this thing happening that I would rather be at. And I'm like, because I sent the schedule ahead of time with the whole camp schedule and our schedules. Like if you have objections,
it was amazing. You had like a binder.
Oh, yeah, had a binder. I was like, speak now or forever hold your peace. If you don't want this shift. And everyone's like, no, yeah, it's good. It's good. And then like right when it came to it, they bailed. And so then I had to step in. So if you're wanting to volunteer, like you gotta do your thing. That's all I'm saying.
And, you know, again, if we, with some of these teams being split up, right, the goal is going to be that, like, if you have an event that's, you know, like some activity that you want to do, that person's going to be in charge of it. And like Mike and Doug, Shalise and I, we're not going to be paying attention to whether it's happening or not. You decide to bail on it. You decide not to do it, you know, we'll miss out on some programming that won't, but we're not going to put everybody's experience at jeopardy or people like worried about like what's, you know, how everything's going. We'll kind of lean on different folks in the different teams to do that. And hopefully that makes it so that even people in the camp are just enjoying soaking up the vibes at the different places and the different, oh wow, our camp is doing this. That's amazing. You know, I like, my goal is that for all of us here and anybody who's volunteering, they're going to show up at the camp and they're going to be surprised about something. Like, oh shit, I didn't know. Like, I want it to feel as magical for people in our camp, for the other stuff that's there that they're excited about, as it is for people that are coming to visit.
Well, that's where one of the things I want to, well, go ahead, Doug.
No, not at all. Are you kidding? Go. Well,
I was just thinking, and why I really love the direction you've, like, where we're going with this right now, DR, and I feel it. And I had a moment when you were reading off those values, or the values are the three pillars, or what do we call them?
Focuses.
Three pillars. The three pillars foundational thing. Yeah. I had this moment where it's like, if you were to have asked me before any of this, like I could not have picked three better focuses than that. Same. It's like surrendering that control and to allow everyone to bring their creativity in themselves. It's turning out in this magical way where it's like, oh, I couldn't have envisioned that any better, but it's exactly what I wanted in a way. Right. So I
That's
see
awesome
it
to hear. Yeah.
In a way of like this energetic container that we're setting right now. That's like, we're doing the work in advance to set the space so that if you're wanting to come and be on one of these three focus groups, you're going to put that energy in and your creativity in, and then you get to enjoy that space that you've helped create.
Absolutely.
And
you get to enjoy everyone else enjoying it too, right? If this is a gift, if this isn't like DR being like, you got to build this fucking, you know, table and like make sure that this is done. Now you're going to be, you see people not sitting there. You're like, well, people aren't even sitting there, you know, versus like, you build that thing. And I'm saying this because like, I've watched this happen at Burning like 100 times over, right? Like you just see this, people start to feel that the weight of their obligation, and then there's no amount of reward that can override that. Right. But when it's a gift, it's like, I made this thing, and one person comes and says, oh man, that was so awesome. I saw that guy sit on that thing and he loved it, you know? Cause that was the thing that you did. And then you go sit on it and you're like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Love that. I just want to give a quick shout out to Shalise. Quick shout out to DR. Mike, I'm not giving you a shout out because you were in the same boat as me. I'm sorry.
You give me a reprimand, maybe.
That's not even a reprimand, dude. You knew what you were up to. Yeah. I also want to, Tammy, if you're still listening, Tammy, you saved my day. So,
I loved Tammy last year. Yeah, she was great.
Right? Tammy. Yeah. Tammy was a lifesaver, kind of a game changer. Like last year, I did not sign up for any of the things because I got a lot of flaws, but one of them is not
self-awareness. I know I'm not.
We're not letting any of you sign up for anything this year.
So yeah, man. I'm not. I know I'm not helpful when it comes to that kind of thing. Like, DR, you just said building a table. Yes, I'm in. Like, let's build a fucking table, and I will do that. But that was never an option last year. So last year, I found a homeless man?
Oh wait, I know who you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking
the
about?
Guy who had, like, set
I,
up
and I invited was, like, him into the festival.
Was, like, cooking scraps that he found.
Was. He literally was using garbage to set up his camp.
Oh,
and then he was like cooking something,
and he was like, cooking shit. Yeah,
wait,
he was.
What did you call him? He was like a pirate. Something. Didn't you give him a name?
I did give him a name. I'm not going to say it on the thing because, but it was Pirate Blank. His name. And he, I mean, listen, he needed some help, and I was tripping, so I was like, I'm happy to help. And I was holding things for him, and I was doing all the things, but. The point I'm trying to make is Tammy, to your point, Shalice, Tammy was kind of also in her own self, but she was like, I know that I committed to this thing. And so she was over there hanging with me and we were chuckling and I was doing helpful things with homeless pirate blank. But Tammy was like, I'm sorry, Doug, I got to leave you. Cause I'm going to, I volunteered for this thing with Shalice to do the thing. And so Tammy went and did it. So Tammy, if you're listening, I love you. And you honestly were like the best volunteer, but if you're going to volunteer, that's okay. Like totally do what you can do. Please join us. Please come hang with us. Please. We're going to have a good time, but also just live up to the thing that you're committing to doing. Is that a fair enough saying? Is that a fair enough thing to say?
You like put
just,
it perfectly,
just do like, the thing that you claimed you were going to do. Sorry, Shalice, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I interrupted you just saying that was literally what I was trying to say. And you just said it in one sentence, which was perfect.
And if you do want to be a space cadet for the whole time, right? Like there's plenty of things that people can do ahead of time that don't involve like taking a shift or working somewhere during the festival, right? We're going to need tons of stuff like people who want to help get camp set up or like setting up the lights or taking stuff down. So and I'm expecting that's going to be kind of the bulk of what we have going on. So don't be intimidated if you want to be a Doug as well. Like you can do that. You just know thyself and don't set up.
Know thyself and thy own self be true.
Which I should have done last year. Yeah.
DR, no, hold up. No. You and I had a blast last year.
We did have a blast, yeah. But I literally came to my shift with Shalice and I looked at her and I looked at some, like looked down at something. I was like, actually, I don't think I can actually do this. I did show up, but I immediately had to bail.
It was like you and maybe three other people because most of the shift was either selling t-shirts or face painting. Those were like the two things and decorating, which literally no one showed up for. And I was like, got this. But anyway, yeah, like showing up and people looking at the paintbrush and looking at the sheet, which I had a collage put together of neon face paint.
Yeah.
So people had templates of like, if someone says I paint my face, they can look down and like pick one. And so people like came over and they looked at it and they looked at me, their eyes all glossy. And they're like, I don't think I can do this. Okay. Just go.
For those of you listening, Shalice just described her and I's relationship at last solstice. I literally sat down at the thing. And I looked.
Wait, you did the same thing. Like, you did the same thing as me. That's exactly what I did.
Doug, you never signed up for anything.
I didn't sign up for anything, but I sat down at the body painting thing. And Shalice, to your credit, you were like, "Doug, I'll paint you." And I was tripping so hard that I was like, "Girl, just get me." I kept saying, "Just get me. Just do it. Just do my thing." And Shalice was like, "I got you, Doug." And by the way, I looked dope as fuck that night. Just to clarify,
yeah, you did.
I did look good, but I also was not helpful. Listen, I'm good for setup and takedown. I am a very good option for
lifting heavy things and doing sup and takedown. If you're that person, tell us you're that person.
Yeah.
If you're the person, well, right?
Well, and I want to, like, I feel like we're dwelling on this a lot, right? Which
I know, you know, I'm sorry. It's because I'm drunk.
Our focus is like community building, experiencing this, having a magical experience. You know, like that's what we want people to come and do. There's, you know, there's going to be some obligation. We want people to be part of being engaged in the community is contributing to your teams or whatever. But the focus isn't, you know, putting up the chairs after state conference. The focus is really like getting the meat out of the experience and connecting with people.
Dara, I have a question for you. Because I do really like that shift in focus. And there are people who are planners like me that are like, but what are the jobs that are available? Like, how do I know if I would be good at something? Do we have any sort of vague list or kind of idea as to if they were to say, I want to be part of the Magic Sacred Fuckery crew, what does that look like tangibly?
We have put some tentative roles and we want to allow the teams to do some tweaking of these as well. Casey, who's working with us on the team as well, has like done festivals in the past. She's got all this experience and she's like, what about this? What about this? What about this? And so we have some specific roles. So, you know, we're expecting sort of like a artistic director or kind of like set designer or space kind of designer role, or maybe a couple people, or maybe that's most of that team for the Magic Sacred Fuckery. So if that's the stuff you're interested in, like setting up the art stuff, please like join that team. All right. Yeah. And then for the introspect, you know, we have like an awareness and a music coordinator. This is another one that was written down, or a flair coordinator. We have those as part of the introspection and inclusion team.
You have someone who can have cry the whole time for everyone.
What?
The town crier.
Yeah. What's the one about going and crying the entire time you're at solstice?
Because that's the one I want to sign up for.
And we do already have a couple roles filled that'll be like more individuals, but we have like a site coordinator who will be, you know, there's some scarce resources here. I didn't mention this before, but there'll be camp dues, right? As part of being part of the camp. That's how we're going to kind of fund the stuff that we do. If it's like we're buying couches or we're, you know, renting tents or we're setting up whatever, which is going to be $50 for people that are doing big volunteering. We're going to try and get free tickets. So it'll actually be, you know, cheaper than getting your festival ticket. But, you know, for people that are going to be committed and help with certain things, what was I saying about the camp dues? Oh, so there are scarce resources at the camp are going to be our scheduling, our programming, you know, like what's happening at what time, the actual layout of the space, and, you know, using camp dues for whatever. And so as stuff comes up that people want to do, it's like, you know, if you're doing the art team or whatever, it's like, okay, cool. This is what we want. And this is how much it's going to cost. Awesome. Here you go. Right. Oh, this is what we want to do. And this is how much space we think it'll take, or this is what time it's going to take. Awesome. And so we have an executive team. That's myself and a few other folks. We have a treasurer so that, you know, we'll kind of, there's like kind of real heavy lifting logistics things, or if the teams need help coordinating, we'll be kind of sitting in with those folks and helping keeping that ball rolling.
Awesome. Oh, I have a question. Yeah. So you said our camp is going to be about 50 people. And are those 50 people the ones that will be essentially donating $50 toward the cause? And then people who aren't camping. Okay. So if you're in the 50 people, you're considered sleeping camping in our camp, right?
Correct. Yeah.
And then anyone outside of those boundaries would not be associated with the camp, but of course they can come hang out with us. But they'll be sleeping elsewhere and paying a regular ticket.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
But we're not, but we can't get 50 free tickets for the people that are camping. But depending on your role and how much we can get and how much you're donating your time, we potentially could get you a free ticket, but they still need to pay $50 to be in our camp.
Correct. And everybody in the camp from the executive team down, we're all going to put in $50 because this is us co-creating something, right? This isn't like, oh, we're you know, you're paying for the leadership of the team or whatever. No, I want us all to be sort of equal citizens there. I very much expect that there'll be people who might really want to camp with us, but who don't necessarily have the bandwidth or whatever to volunteer, right? Or can't be super engaged. What our goal is that, you know, joining our camp is really, we want you part of our community. So everybody who joins is going to have a phone call with somebody from our team to sort of talk with them, make sure they're on board, to understand what our principles are, and to be kind of a fuck yes, like 2 feet in on engaging with other people in the camp. We don't want, you know, I feel a little bit guilty. I saw some of this in the camp last year, of people who were, you know, kind of tangentially connected and were like, oh, what's this all about? And then there was sort of like part of the camp. And I think that I really want for everybody to, like, everyone who's there to sort of make sure they've seen all this stuff ahead of time. They know what they're signing up for, that they've engaged with someone, and that they're really 2 feet in. Right. And I mean, the people I'm saying that I was people that I invited. Right. And I was like, oh, you guys should come with us and be part of the camp, whatever. And I just didn't prepare them for what it was. Right. And so they had a great time. I had a great time hanging out with them, but I didn't feel like they integrated in with the camp at all, because they didn't know what the podcast was. They didn't know you guys. They didn't have any. They're just like, oh, I guess I've got a ticket for this thing, and this is what we're doing now, you know? And that's something that we really want to avoid. Like, we want people that come in to sort of be 2 feet in, to really understand what this is and to be excited about creating the community with us. We also expect that this is something that's going to last for a lot more than just this year. I mean, this is the foundation of something.
Yeah.
But we want to sort of really experiment on how this community comes together and iterate on it. And if that means, like, we're going to do the burn at some point, or we're going to do whatever, right? Like, this is getting your foot in the door to sort of help co-create with us. And those are the folks that we're looking for, is people that want to help co-create and want to, you know, be a listening ear, a shoulder to cry on, a connection with someone else within that group. Which is also why we're kind of limiting it to 50, right? Which is already a big number by my standards, but that feels like the max, where it's like, I want to be able to know everybody's first name in the camp. Maybe I don't know them all, you know, but like, I want to sort of be familiar enough that I'm like, oh, hey, how's it going? What's up? You know, like, know a fact that we could have maybe some camp activities and people sort of, you know, meet each other and coordinate or whatever. That's one of the biggest things, is that people do that. And so, you know, being part of the camp would involve camping with us, would involve paying some dues, may involve a free ticket, but that's what we want. We want you to volunteer. We want you to get camp with us to get a free ticket, all those things, so that you can kind of really be engaged.
I have one more question. Just thinking logistically again. So to your point, DR, how you invited people and they weren't really part of the camp. What if there's a situation where, let's say, a family really wants to come and camp, but it's only the wife that's like, I'm the one that's volunteering, but my husband's coming because he wants to enjoy, and we're obviously going to be in the same tent. Does that count toward the 50, or like, how are we working around that?
I think what we would ask, again, I think it's probably okay if there are people who want to be in our camp, but not necessarily, you know, do
volunteer,
be super engaged in a committee or whatever. Maybe they can just like help with a little bit of setup or whatever. I would like for people that camp with us to be part of the community. So, you know, we could manage that on a case by case basis, but that would be my ideal, where at a minimum, that other person would still have that call with somebody from our exec team to sort of be like, hey, this is what we're up to. Are you comfortable with this? We're going to maybe be sharing a lot of feelings, or someone might come up and give you a hug. Like, is that going to be comfortable for you? You know, because we want to make it so that we want to sort of create this echo chamber of like positive vibes that is going to be, you know, magnetic.
In that case, if it's a husband and wife and a kid, for example, mm-hmm. do all three of them pay $50?
Probably not a kid. That seems unnecessary.
Yeah. No
kids. Yeah. Kids are okay. No, they don't need to pay the $50.
Cool.
I do want to hit DR. You mentioned the word co-create, and
yeah.
I love that word, man. I love it because it's the vision. I don't know, the sense I've had of this all along is that, you know, especially even with the title Mormons on Mushrooms, right? Like, we're all Mormons on mushrooms. And Doug and I and Shalice, we're not the only Mormons doing mushrooms, right? Like, there was an element of, we're all bringing our weird ass selves, our unique gifts. You talk about the gift economy, you know, like, what do we want? What do we want from this experience? What do we want to give to the community? What can we bring? And just leaning into that and seeing what unfolds is what really excites me, because I think so many beautiful, creative, talented, I don't know, like just beautiful people. And you've seen it right now working with the community so far, DR, like it's what's happening, you know, people and with the help of, you know, sometimes mushrooms and entheogens, it's like waking up to their true selves and what they have to bring to the world. And we have a space that we're creating, a safe container for you to bring that. And
100%. So well said.
That's what excites me. And so it's not like a Mike, Doug, and Shalice show. No, I always say, I mean, we had a discussion, Doug and I did last week with this woman, and kind of mentioned that like people have been there. It's like, we just like lit up the bat signal and been like, okay, hey guys, it's time. Maybe it's time to come together.
Yeah.
And for those who want to listen, you know, there's still people there's still Mormons on mushrooms who are like, oh, I don't give a fuck about this community. Right. But there are plenty that are also like, no, I see this little podcast, this bat signal that's been like lit and like, yeah, I want to come and be involved, but I want to come on my terms and contribute what I have to give. And I say, fuck yes, let's do it.
That's yes. Yes, yes, yes. I think that was one of the biggest things that came out of that workshop we did, right? Which is, so many of us have been the Relief Society presidents and the Elders Quorum presidents. And it's like, this is what you do. And you read the manual and this is who you are. And you're that piano player that Jesus made the great piano player or whatever, right? It's like, dude, be a fucking drummer, play the flute, play your Brazilian capoeira instrument. That's exactly yes. what we want to have, is that people have, and you know, my experiences with burns, this is the number one thing that I see that's magical comes out, is you get to experiment with a different version of you. What happens if I just am like really bubbly and talk to people? What happens if I just, you know, decide to wear this like crazy thing that I always thought was like scandalous, or, you know, people would think I'm gonna weird? What happens if I, you know, try and cross dress for a day or whatever, right? Like, allow that freak flag to fly that you've been itching to try out. And if you decide the next day, wow, that was a one-time deal, never touching that again, great. You learned, like you've seen, you know, you got to scratch that itch. And I think that's like one of the big things that we want. Oh, you really want to play this song for people? You really wanted to say something, or you really wanted to, you know, do this art piece that was like, yes, yes, yes. You know, like be that, unlock that person that you are, which is why we're orienting this camp the way we are, right? Mm-hmm. Don't just come, it's not just about coming and, you know, having a great time with us. It's about like experiencing your truest self.
Love that.
Yes.
Hey, I pinky promised that I would tell the story about the festival where I was pinky dipping. It's going to have to be on the next episode, man.
All right. I'm sorry.
I've got to go pick up my daughter.
You fucking pinky promise, man.
Okay, Doug.
You're breaking a pinky promise?
No, I'm keeping the pinky promise. I'll tell it on the next episode.
All right. Okay.
Perfect. It's too long of a story. I got to go pick my daughter up. I'm already late.
All right, buddy.
Okay.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you.
Hey, thanks, Doug.
Bye.
Guys, there's one thing that we didn't talk about that I think is the most exciting.
What is it?
What our theme camp's theme is.
Yeah. I was saying we're burying the lead a little bit, huh? We buried the lead.
Wait, what is our theme camp's theme?
The fairy kingdom.
Oh. I didn't know that was our theme camp's theme.
Oh my gosh, really? You know what? I think what happened is we came up with it like way before we brought you on to take over. And I think we all just kind of had that in the back of our minds, and that's why we probably haven't talked about it. But yeah, like enchanted forest, fairy.
I mean, it fits 100% into everything. I love it.
I was just thinking sacred fuckery. Magical sacred fuckery, safe haven, introspection, yeah. whatever the,
yeah. You know, it's like in Zelda or whatever, when you go find the fairies and like the music changes and it feels really safe and all your hearts get like filled up. Yeah.
Love that. All the hearts. You're playing Zelda with all the hearts, you know?
That's why I made that Pinterest board that's like enchanted forest and props with trees and mushrooms. And then we could put black lights on them and make them glow at night or something. Just like really magical. The reason I thought of it is because you're talking about costumes. And I was like, should we tell people that they're more than welcome to dress up like a fairy kingdom fairy or druid?
I think that's a great idea. Yeah. When people coordinate costumes is one of my favorite things. Like, yeah. When you see a whole group of people and they're all, you know, fairied up, it's great.
Yeah, or a butterfly or a bird or a unicorn. I don't know, mythical creature, whatever you want. But I think it's good to invite people to dress up so they don't feel weird. You know how like on Halloween, yeah, it's like, 100%. Is it a costume party? I don't want to be the only one with a costume. But I'm planning on doing something fun and costumey. But of course, I'm a costumer, so I kind of expect that.
I'm not a costumer, and I'm also going to come and dress in something, Shelly.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, I think the story arc of my burns from like the five that I went to is very similar to a lot of people, which is the first year I was so prepared for like the elements and the cold and whatever. And my costumes were shit, you know, but I had like five things of chapstick and I had like all the baby wipes and like, I just had like all the supplies you need, right? And by the last year, my supplies were like kind of shit, but I had amazing costumes, you know, like my costume just got better and better. And my supplies were like, oh, that's probably not important. And then I'm there, I'm like, oh damn, where was the, I really wish I had some more baby wipes right now. But
yeah.
All right.
Well, any other thoughts, questions?
No, just that I was going to say, and it wasn't a thought or question, just that like, I'm so excited for where this is going. I'm just excited to go and connect and be in the fairy kingdom with everyone who's coming. And I think it's just like the beginnings of bigger things to come, but it's just a cool deal. I don't know how to say
it. Did we mention the location?
We didn't. It's in Eden, yeah, which is Weber County, North Fork Park, in Utah. And the website again for people who want to set up it's gonna be MormonsOnMushrooms.com/revival. And I guess I don't know if we can link to it from the main page too. That would be nice.
Yeah, I just wanted to call that out because if you're listening and you went last year and you're like, I ain't doing that again, like the desert and the heat, that was just ridiculous.
Oh yeah, it's a very different spot.
Much more pleasant this year. Yeah. So
in the woods with the trees. Yeah, absolutely.
Pavilions. Yeah, it's gonna be a better
spot. Yeah, we have a dedicated pavilion, so that'll be cool.
Cool. Well, thanks, DR.
Well, buddy, I'm glad we finally got you to come on here. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. I feel so full of the spirit, I guess, you know, just like reconnected, got to say a lot of fun things. So happy about it.
Cool. Same.
I'm yeah, full, I'm very full of the spirit too. Burning in my bosom. So
on that note.
All right. Well, thanks guys. We'll talk to you later.
Bye, buddy.
Thank you. Bye. Bye. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to Mormons on Mushrooms podcast. We have so much fun recording it. And if you love it, we would absolutely love it if you could leave a review on wherever you get your podcasts. It would really help our visibility so more people can listen to it and be enlightened and hear our crazy stories. So thanks again for tuning in.